Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 30. Let us pray for God's blessing on His Word. We thank You, our Father, for this glorious Word that You have proclaimed and published throughout the world. And we pray now that Your Spirit would indeed enable us to read Your Word with understanding, with clarity, and that it would be helpful to our lives, that we might walk in Christ faithfully. And to this end we pray. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, the holy narrator has given us a very long section to read this evening. The chapter divisions, again, as I say, have just been dropped in there. But there is one section that begins at Genesis chapter 30, verse 25, where we left off our reading, and it goes on to the very end of chapter 31. So it's a long reading, and usually I promise a short sermon, but I'm not going to promise that tonight. It's a long story. Chapter 30, verse 25. Hear now the word of God. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay. If I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name me your wages, and I will give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you, and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house?" So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hands of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled he set before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. And it came to pass, whenever those stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, "Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth." And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock, and said to them, "I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might, I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. And if he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels. And he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey. And he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and with songs, with timbrel and harp. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in doing so. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And now you have surely gone, because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but he did not find them. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me. And he searched, but did not find the household idols. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between us both. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was in the day the drought consumed me and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have born? Now, therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. And Laban called it Yegar Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore, its name was called Galeed. Also Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. Then Laban said to Jacob, here is this heap and here is this pillar which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness and this pillar is a witness that I will not pass beyond this heap to you. And you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. And here ends this exciting reading of the Word of God. Now, this is a very complicated episode in the story of Jacob. After the babies, we find negotiations and then a breeding program. And then we begin to see Jacob's spiritual leadership developing, their departure for the land of Canaan, the pursuit and the accusations that Laban brought against Jacob. And then we see Laban humbled, and the whole episode ends with this covenant of peace. And so Jacob now, after 20 years in Paddan Aram, is on his way back to the promised land. The story begins at verse 25 of chapter 30. After the babies are born, Jacob says it's time to go home. He had earned his wives and God had given him the children. And he expresses the idea that Laban, of course, knows he worked for this. Jacob reviewed how God had blessed Laban through Jacob's work. And it's remarkable to see in verse 30 how Jacob is beginning to speak like a spiritual man. We didn't see any of this in the episodes before this, after the incident when God revealed himself to Jacob at Bethel. But now Jacob wants to build his own house. And we learn later from Leah and Rachel that Jacob and his wives had not benefited at all from Jacob's 14 years at work. The deal was, I'll give you my daughters, you work for 14 years. And that was the deal. That was it. So Jacob, had he left at this point where this episode begins, he would have left with his wives and with his children and nothing else. And this is why he enters into this negotiation with Laban. But negotiating with a schemer is always difficult. And you see how Laban wants to change the terms again, time and again. God has blessed him for Jacob's sake. He acknowledges this. So he's trying to convince Jacob to stay and continue to work. And indeed, in this first episode here, this is the most polite language that we have seen coming out of Laban's mouth. So he says, you know, let's negotiate a salary. Tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. And Jacob reviews again what Laban already knows. And he seems to understand that unless he sets everything out very plainly before Laban, he cannot trust what his uncle Laban will do. Laban asks, what will I give you? And Jacob says, I don't want you to give me anything. I want to earn my own way for my house. So he says, do this one thing for me and I'll continue to care for your flock. And in verse 32, he says, just let me go through the flock today and I'm going to remove all the spotted, speckled and the indefinite colors, animals. Now, apparently in the Near East, goats are normally black or dark brown and sheep are white. So any goats with speckles or streaks would have stood out from the flock, and any sheep that were darker would have stood out from the flock. And Jacob says, let me go through your flock and I'll take all these animals out and they'll be my animals. But you notice what Laban does. Laban right away gives his agreement. Verse 34, he says, yep, OK, I agree to this. That way in the future, Jacob says, if any of the animals that I have are not speckled and spotted or striped, then you'll know that I sold them. You know, I want my own flock. So Laban says, OK, but then he cheats immediately. Verse 35, he goes and he removes exactly those animals from his flock, gives them into his son's hands and sends them 3 days away. So he leaves Jacob with a uniform flock of white sheep and dark goats to begin the process of building his own house. What a loving grandfather. But now we learn how Jacob's breeding program seems to succeed. And he takes these rods of the trees and peels white stripes in them, places them in the watering troughs. And as Waltke comments, Jacob here uses white magic to breed the animals. The idea, it's an old idea that's floated around, that visual stimulation at the time of conception will affect the genetics of the embryo. Now, of course, we know this is utter nonsense. But you can see in the story here what Jacob went ahead and did. And Jacob here is thinking in terms of magic to build his flock, which is really surprising after the statement that he had made about how the Lord had blessed his work. But here he is attempting again by his own strength to build his flock using white magic, just as Rachel tried to conceive with the use of mandrakes, as we saw in the prior episode. So these animals conceived and they produced animals that were speckled and spotted and striped. So they were Jacob's and not Laban's. And then later he manipulated the flock so that the stronger ones bred for him and the weaker ones bred for Laban. And when we come to the end of chapter 30, we find that Jacob is described as a man of wealth for the culture of his time, a man with large flocks, female and male servants. He was able to sell sheep and buy servants, camels, donkeys. After 6 years, he had built wealth enough to take care of his family. And as chapter 31 opens, we find jealousy and resentment building up in the Laban household. And Jacob sees that he can no longer trust his brothers-in-law either. It's not just Uncle Laban, but now it's the cousins as well, the male cousins. And he notices how Uncle Laban's attitude toward him has begun to change. Now, remember, Uncle Laban had taken all the spotted, striped, speckled animals out of his flock. How did this guy manage to breed this huge flock and leave me with these tiny, weakened creatures? This is what Laban is wrestling with here. Now, as we turn the page and come to chapter 31, we finally see Jacob showing some spiritual leadership in his family. The Lord intervenes and the Lord commands Jacob to return to the promised land. And you might notice how this foreshadows the Exodus. Laban has enslaved Jacob for 20 years now. And God tells Jacob, now it's time to leave this bondage and I will be with you. Now, how long has it been since Jacob remembered the promises of the Lord, which the Lord had spoken to him at Bethel? It's been 20 years and God is reminding them of these things. So he consults his wives. He calls them out into the pastures where he can talk to them freely without Laban's spies around, and begins to give them true spiritual leadership. He tells them about the story, about what he's noticed about Laban, that Laban isn't favorable to him as he was in the past. But notice what he adds. The God of my father has been with me. When is the last time that we heard Jacob saying something like that to his wives? Never. Never. This is a first. He's finally showing spiritual leadership to his wives. He's confessing his faith to his wives. And he calls his wives as witnesses that he has served their father, Uncle Laban, fully. Even though Laban cheated him and changed his wages 10 times, Jacob adds, but God did not allow him to do me evil. He did not allow him to hurt him. He protected Jacob from harm. Jacob is confessing this to his wives now. At verse 8, Jacob attributes the multiplication of his flocks, not to his scheme of striped sticks now, but to the Lord. And that's a very interesting thing. It was indeed, as Jacob says here, it was God's work to remove Laban's wealth and give it to Jacob. God plundered Laban, again foreshadowing the Exodus, when God would put it into the hearts of the Egyptians to give the Israelites enough gold, silver, bronze, wood, fabric to be able to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. We see how God curses those who curse the seed of Abraham, and he took the wealth away from Laban. And God's revelation to Jacob, which we see in verse 10 here, talks about the breeding season of the flocks. And in the dream, Jacob saw what was actually happening. It wasn't his sticks that was doing the work. It was the Lord who was doing the work. Back in chapter 30, as we read the account of the growth of Jacob's flock, we're getting the perspective of what Jacob thought he was doing and what an observer might have noticed. But here, in this scene in chapter 31, our narrator allows Jacob himself to testify to the theological understanding of what actually happened. God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. It happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and he said, here is what I'm doing. I'm multiplying your flock for you. So now for 14 years, Jacob worked hard for his wives, Leah and Rachel. And during the last 6 years now, he has worked, but God has built his flock and plundered Laban. So it's time to go home. Let's go home. We have the babies. We have the flocks. Let's go home. God reminds Jacob of the anointed stone that he had set up at Bethel. And he commands Jacob has no choice here, to leave Laban's land and return to the land of his family. And the wives agree to this. And it's amazing here, too, that we see Rachel and Leah together in unity, actually agreeing on something that their family is going to do. What a blessing. And they no longer see any value for them to stay in their father's house. They were treated as strangers by Laban. Their accusation against their father is actually very sharp here. They say, he sold us. And he did. He sold each one of them for 7 years of work on the part of Jacob. But then he completely consumed our money. Rather than getting part of the dowry that would have been theirs, Laban kept it all for himself. And in verse 16, we see that Leah and Rachel both see God's justice in this. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. What a change here from the childbearing years. Very remarkable. When God begins to work in a family, we begin to see remarkable things happening. And so they leave. They load up the camels, the wives and the children, and they prepare for the very long journey back to the land of Canaan, back to his father Isaac. And this is taking place while Laban is off somewhere else shearing his sheep. And sheep shearing takes many, many days. And they stay on, in those days anyway, they stayed on the land with the sheep, carried out the sheep shearing. So this was the opportune time for Jacob to leave and for Rachel to steal her father's idols. There's quite a bit of humor in this. This is a case of God-napping. It's a humorous poke by the Holy Spirit at the polytheism of Jacob's ancestors. What kind of gods are these that you can steal? Think about it. Now, we wonder why Rachel is stealing these idols. Is it out of spite? She wants to get even with her dad. And maybe she's not completely free yet of her polytheism. And going off to a new land, following her husband out into the wilderness, maybe she wants the comfort of what she grew up with. We don't know. We're not told at this point. Although we do learn that Rachel is going to die young in childbirth. So God does speak about her life. But Jacob left without telling Laban, crossed the river, which is the Euphrates, and headed toward the hills of Gilead, which are on the east side of the Jordan. And then we find Laban in hot pursuit. He rounds up a party of his men, chases Jacob for 7 days, and catches up with Jacob's family at the mountains of Gilead. Now, you can imagine that Jacob's caravan would have traveled much more slowly with all the flocks that had to feed along the way, with all the children. And Laban is about to catch up. And, you know, we kind of wonder, we're kind of worried, what's going to happen here? He's running with a band of armed men across the desert, catches up to them, and God intervenes again. And in that dream, the night before Laban arrives, where Jacob is camping, he says, "Don't mess with Jacob." Now, Laban comes and accuses Jacob of stealing his daughters and of dealing with him treacherously. He says verbs like "flee secretly" and "trick me" and "did not tell me," and adds, "Why didn't you tell me? We could have had a big feast." Ha ha. We all know about Laban's feasts. We've been through that before at Rachel's wedding, how he used the feast to trick Jacob. And Laban accuses Jacob of cheating him of his fatherly farewell that he would have liked to offer. But now Laban is going to be humbled. He confesses that he has the power to do Jacob harm, but that God warned him not to do anything to Jacob. This is a polytheist who is longing for his household idols. But the revelation of God in that night made a profound impression on him. And he knows, I must not mess with Jacob any further. So he tries to put a good face on it. In verse 30, he says, "Oh, you probably were longing for your family. But why did you steal my gods?" And Jacob answers that he snuck away because he was afraid Laban would take away his wives. But he doesn't address the question about gods. And he speaks rashly in verse 32 because he doesn't know that Rachel took the idols. "With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live." Now, notice how carefully our writer, the Holy Spirit here, describes what goes on. You can make a movie out of this. Watch Laban going from tent to tent and going to Jacob's tent, Leah's tent, the servant's tent. Doesn't find anything. And he finally comes to Rachel's tent. And Rachel had hidden the idols in a camel saddle, which is a sort of a box affair. And she sat on it and she pleads her menstrual cycle to stay seated on top of the gods. And our wise narrator shows Rachel willfully defiling her father's gods, sitting there, gods under her bottom, gods that you can kidnap and then you can sit on them. What kind of gods are these? You see the humor of the Holy Spirit here in teaching us the contrast between the works of men's hands that we bow down to and the holy God who can put the fear of him in an idolater who doesn't know him. Now, Jacob loses patience and rebukes Laban and reviews his service of 20 years for Laban, reminds him how he's been faithful. The flocks have been blessed. He's been a good shepherd. He's even covered the losses, which is something a hired shepherd would have not had to do. It's far beyond what a hired shepherd would have done. And Laban changed his wages 10 times again. And Jacob in verse 42 says, "The only reason that I survived all of this is because of my God." Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed." Laban proudly claims all of Jacob's family and his flock, says they're mine. But he also confesses his helplessness. He's been utterly humbled by the revelation of God. What can I do this day? So he finally gets smart and realizes that the best thing to do is to make a covenant of peace. And so they set up these pillars. Gilead comes from the Hebrew Gal, which means witness. And the other word that they use for this other heap here, which is, Mitzpah, comes from the Hebrew word, the Hebrew verb to keep watch. So they invoke deity. Jacob, Laban invokes the God to protect his daughters in verse 50, but it was Laban who mistreated them and not Jacob. They take a covenant oath. Laban swears by the God of Abraham and of his ancestors. We see him not knowing the true God here and confusing the gods of Abraham with the gods of Nahor and his ancestors. And Jacob swears very plainly by the Lord, the fear of Isaac, where there's no possibility of confusion. So all ends well. They say goodbye. Laban blesses the children and departs and returns to his place. And here's the end of the story. And Jacob is on his way now to the promised land. He's almost over the river. We'll look at that next time. Let me conclude with some lessons for the children of Jacob. First, notice how carefully God has put together his story, the Bible, for us. Look at the typology that we have here. Here are the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes are little kids here, growing up. You know, maybe the oldest one by now is around 20 years old, and then they go on down to six, which would have been the last born before the 6 years to build the flock. And they are repeating exactly the migration that Abraham undertook when he heard the voice of God calling him to leave Paddan Aram behind, to leave his ancestors behind, to leave his family behind and go to the promised land. And here, the 12 tribes of Israel, in embryonic form, are doing exactly what Abraham had done. And you'll also notice how in the narrative here, God is foreshadowing what's going to happen after Jacob is gone. After these children have grown up and have families of their own, he's foreshadowing the Exodus and leading Israel, which is Jacob's name, changed, out of bondage, plundering the Egyptians, protecting them from pursuit by a more powerful military force, by God's own intervention. So, just as Isaac relived many of Abraham's experiences, as we saw a few chapters ago, so now the children of Jacob are reliving many of Abraham's experiences. God has put this together in such a marvelous way to show us how he is the God who has ordained history and who's directing every detail of the story of his people here. We also see God's providence building a life for Jacob. God is keeping his promises to Jacob. Back in chapter 28 at Bethel, he said, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." And Jacob showed his skill and his cleverness as a shepherd. But we learn here at the end that all along it was God's blessing building his house. And we must never have the illusion that we can build our lives for ourselves. We can work hard. We can develop skill. We can become very good sheep breeders. But ultimately it is the Lord who builds our house, or we labor for nothing. Laban proves the point. He labored for nothing. And God kept his word to Jacob. And God will keep his word to you, too, when he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." God is showing Jacob greater mercy, because certainly Jacob was not seeking first the kingdom of God. But God had his hand on Jacob, and he loved him, and he saw him through this, and he built a house for him. We also see again what the Apostle Paul teaches us in the book of Galatians, that as a man sows, so shall he reap. Laban is a very clear example of the principle of God's justice. He schemed and cheated, but God plundered him. He lost his daughters, he lost all of his grandchildren, and he lost his best worker, and he lost his flocks. And further, the Lord told him to leave Jacob alone. And that watchtower that they erected will drive the fear of God into this man. Even though he yearns for his idols, he will not dare go past that spot to try to harm Jacob anymore. And one day, all of you who worship the God of Jacob in truth will look back at how God delivered you from cheats, from liars, from oppressive people. That day will surely come. As we read in Psalm 7, his trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. And finally, we see Jacob awakening to a trusting faith in the Lord. From a guy who was manipulated by his wives and showing them no respect whatsoever and no leadership, he becomes more clear thinking, more clear sighted, and begins to lead his family according to the word of God. You know what comes next. God is preparing Jacob to become Israel. And that will come next. And God is calling all of us, children of Jacob, who worship the fear of Isaac, the true Israel of God, to grow in faith. We see how God is patient with us and merciful with us. How he took 20 years to shape Jacob and get him to the point where he was ready to exercise true spiritual leadership and was able to acknowledge that it is God building his life. How patient he is with us. So brothers and sisters, trust him. Trust his promises. Honor him. Give him thanks for the multitude of the blessings he bestows on us. These are blessings that we cannot earn, no matter how clever and skillful we are. But they are blessings which God is eager to give to his children. Let us thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the many things that you teach us through the history of our ancestors in the faith. And we thank you that just as Jacob was heading home, that you have set us on a course to head home also. And that our home is a city that is not built by man, but is the city which you yourself have built for us, as you call us out of the wilderness of the world and into the shelter of your city gates. Father, grant that we would not be stubborn as Jacob was for so many years, but that we would recognize your mighty hand in all that we do, that we would see the mercy of your providence, that we would be a thankful people, that whenever we see success, we would bend our hearts down low and give you thanks for blessing the work of our hands, the work of our minds, the work of our bodies. And we give you thanks, O God, for the protection that you bestow your people from those who are crafty and clever and who would strip away from us all that we have. We bless you, O Lord our God, for giving us true riches in Christ, a treasure in heaven which can never be removed from us and which we will enjoy for all eternity. We bless your name, O Holy Father, through Jesus our Lord. Amen.